Boom.
I think this podcast is making you age rapidly.
Why am I like Grandpa Balls?
I don't know. I don't know why. But Drunk, if you listen, you sound like you're getting older, like as we talk.
Do I now?
You do, and you have like a smell.
What kind of aroma is it?
Feet.
God damn it.
Well, that's not right.
It's a concerned listener. Is Drunk okay?
Facts are facts.
His sound.
You have wrinkles.
He sounds like he's not doing okay.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. It's Spooky Month.
The Dubfod. My name is Mike. I am joined by my good friend, Mr. Drunkard STL on the Twitters. And guys, also here, the king of pranks, the albino alligator, popcorn bitch, Coach T, Jaguar Impressive, the man of spice, Mr. Travis Hulse, everyone. Travis Hulse is here.
Happy Spooky Month. Happy Spooky Month.
Guys, the phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Travis, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to a man. Travis, see, I have a problem. Let me run you through my process.
Please.
I feel like the least amount of research that I can do on a person is to learn how to correctly pronounce their name. Like, I feel like it would be very disrespectful to invite somebody to come on the program and not know how to pronounce their name. Mm-hmm. To me, that is paramount.
That's bananas.
As it should, yeah.
This Sky Brabend, and I believe that's how you pronounce it. Brabend? I believe that's how you pronounce it. I can't find a goddamn thing about this guy, Travis. I can't find anything. I can't find another interview he's done. I can't find him introducing himself on the internet. I can't find anything. Sky Brabend.
This is a man of mystery.
Is going to be on the program. We're going to talk to him. We're going to find out what his whole deal is, Travis. Looking forward to it. Sounds watched great. His movie. He made a movie. It's called Chompy and the Girls. And I liked it. It's fun, Travis. It's a fun, good romp. That's coming up after the break, though. Guys, it is Spooky Month. Very excited about it. Thank you for tuning in. Drunk. Last week, I don't know if you remember this, but we talked about a pod catcher called Good Pods.
Yeah.
And we talked about how you had to do like no verification whatsoever to claim a podcast on Good Pods.
Right.
And I was horrified to find out that a listener of our program took that information and started claiming podcasts for himself, Travis.
I feel like we have a responsibility to make sure that we don't cause things like this, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel really bad about it, Travis, because what happened is Liquid Lozenge is now the host of Not Safe for Water Coolers, according to Good Pods.
And he's such a rapscallion.
And he was just able to do it. Like he made an account. I think his username is like The Real Jim. And he just got like a image off the computer of a lonely looking fella. And he just said, "I'm the Jim, the Real Jim." They just let him do it, Travis.
He could easily get a picture of Jim.
Yeah, I mean, there's pictures of Jim out there. I could give him a picture of Jim, no problem.
Yeah.
But the problem is like they don't even do any kind of verification. So they didn't even do a reverse Google search to see if that is the real Jim. Travis said, I'll give him a hint. No. It's not.
They just say they say you want to claim this podcast? Well, it's yours.
Yeah, it's yours. You have it now. Travis, I know what you were saying last week. You were saying, oh, well, it's Good Pods. Nobody's listening to stuff on Good Pods. But let me throw a theoretical out there for you. Now, Not Safe for Water Coolers, if you Google them, Good Pods is probably in the first 5 pages of results. I'm guessing. I mean, Not Safe for Water Coolers podcast, they don't do a whole lot of CSIO, SEO? SEO!
SEO.
They don't SEO, mm-hmm. Travis.
I don't know that.
Good Prods is probably SEO'd before. So, like, somebody says, oh, there's a podcast called Not Safe for Water Coolers. I'll find it. They find it on Good Pods. What if fucking Liquid Lozenge made his profile picture a swastika? Just hypothetically. And so then you find the host of Not Safe for Water Coolers.
I feel like you're giving him ideas as
has a swastika as his logo.
And there's nothing that the real Not Safe for Water Coolers can do about it.
What can they do about it? I'm not suggesting that you do that, Liquid Lozenge. Stop listening to me. I have terrible ideas, but
what kind of Pandora's box are you opening right now?
What
Mike?
What I'm saying is that this is a fucking problem. I'm saying this is bad. There needs to be something. There needs to be some way that we can verify that some wacko isn't out just claiming podcasts. And I think that we have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is a problem that they need to address, Travis.
Why don't you do it just by claiming all the podcasts?
We need to get the CEO of Good Pods on the program, and we need to tell them.
Or just ask them how they didn't think this through, right? Like, I mean, you would think that'd be one of the first things. It's like, you are Good Pods. You are saying, hey, come and claim your podcast. You would think that one of the steps in that claiming would be verifying that you are actually the podcast owner.
And podcasts argue with each other all the time.
What do you mean? Like they got beef?
Oh, that was connected. I'm sorry. I thought that was a Lucy.
It's all right. My lady does it all the time.
I mean, like, you know, Trevor, there's probably podcasts that are mad at us. They could just say they're us and fuck up our whole Good Pods thing. By the way, Good Pods,
not anymore.
They sent me an email, Travis. And they said that they want to feature us on the list.
Did they refer to you as dear valued customer or
something like that? Yeah. And it was great.
Do we have to pay a fee for this being featured on a list?
No, Travis, we do not have to pay any kind of fee. This is the 3 stipulations for being considered to be featured on Good Pods. Is our podcast good? That's number one.
That's the one is good. Yeah, we're good.
Number two, do you use Good Pods regularly to listen to podcasts?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, just to say yes.
Yeah, well, why would that matter, Travis? Why? I mean, like, we don't listen to podcasts. We're just podcasters. Right?
Right.
Right.
And number three, have you invited friends, fans to follow you on Good Pods and have those people listen to your show on the app? I think we did that last week. We certainly made people aware that Good Pods is a thing. And we got the real Jim to sign up and claim his podcast. Yeah, I guess we just have to.
So what you're saying is we're doing our due diligence.
Use the app a whole lot, and we're going to be featured. We're going to be on the front page, Travis.
We're probably their best podcast.
I would like to think so. Travis, I saw a tweet and I just wanted to run it by you. It was not my work. I actually probably should have written down whose work it was. At Mo Garcy. But they said that the whole thing with kickers lately is kickers are not as guaranteed as they once were.
Says who?
Well, kicking, it seemed like it was an automatic. And now, like, you know, people think
that's when the coach wouldn't let them trot out a fucking 50-yarder. Of course anybody can hit 30 to 40.
They're gambling more on bigger kicks.
Correct.
That's the problem?
Totally.
That's also since they changed, you know, they moved them back 5 yards for extra points. Like, that made 5 yards made a difference.
No, it was more than that. It was 15.
Oh, they tried to make it harder?
Yeah. Yeah. So instead of...
To encourage people to go for two.
Back in the day, extra point, you kicked off from the 2-yard line. Now you kick off from the 15, plus add another 7 to that.
Yeah.
35 yards.
And what somebody suggested is that nerves get to these kickers, and what they need to do is they just need to start teaching sociopaths how to kick, as opposed to trying to teach kickers to be sociopaths. And just, like, get people who don't give a fuck... and nerves don't bother them, and then just teach them to kick better.
Well, they kind of have to give a fuck to, you know, care about their kicking? Job.
Well, maybe not give. Maybe like you offer them like a kicking bonus or some. Give them some kind of incentive. Give them a treat.
Well, here you go, little buddy. Kick this ball through those 2 yellow poles.
I thought that was interesting that like you could find ways to use sociopaths to your advantage. Like instead of thinking. Oh, these sociopaths, they're a hindrance to the world. We just put them in situations where they can excel. And you could almost put that on a resume, like as a marketable skill. We got to better utilize the sociopaths.
There's audio issues on my end.
On your end?
But yours. So I just put something in the group chat that you guys keep freezing up on me.
Oh no,
I can't even see the group chat. Mike's being a
yeah,
funny duddy tonight.
Charles, have you ever noticed that the Mr. Clean theme is just that Gustav Brahms guy's lullaby song? The first,
Mr. Clean,
lullaby and good night. It's the same thing.
And good night,
Mr. Clean. That's the only thing to that. That's the whole bit. I don't have anywhere to go with that.
I was expecting you to keep going with that.
I was hoping there's gonna be a music lawsuit and we're gonna get a judge.
No, I noticed it yesterday.
Yeah, why didn't the lullaby and good night guy sue Mr. Clean?
Practice this works public domain at this point.
Is it public domain? They can just use it? I wouldn't mind if they sued him. That'd be an interesting lawsuit.
Yeah. Mr. Clean's like what? Procter & Gamble or something? They got lots of money.
I mean, the lullaby song, that goes back. I'm sure that's public domain at this point, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
But you would have thought that about Happy Birthday up until, you know, a few years ago when it actually did become public domain.
You already dished the hat.
I did. It's hot.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. And you ain't even got your light on, you.
My light?
My light.
I was going for like a spooky.
I know.
Spooky vibe. So you feeling?
You got some ghosts behind you. I see.
Yeah, I put up some ghosts. I need to get the camera on them better so that people can see the ghosts. Are we still having issues, or are we sounding better?
You're good for now.
Travis, do you think that all the tamper-proof stuff and everything that we've done over the years to better protect ourselves from food, do you think that cans are still gross?
What do you mean?
Can?
Well, yeah, like, when you go to the gas station and you buy a can...
Like wait, a can of soda?
Do you wipe off the can?
Never.
It's probably still gross, right?
Not any more gross than like your like a 20-ounce or some kind of bottle where you peel the cap off.
Yeah, but I mean, you peel the cap off and like the cap was covering where you touch your mouth,
right? The little
ring.
the little ring still stays on there, and that is completely exposed to everything all the time.
But like when you just crack a can, like you're putting your mouth mostly on stuff that people probably already touched. Like some hobo might have like grabbed it and then changed his mind and put it back. And like he put his thumb right where you put your mouth.
Yeah, a lot of things could happen. Just like every time you leave beverage out in the open, you know, to go to the bathroom, leave it on your desk or something. I mean, somebody could walk in there and spit in it before you come back.
Or, you know, Ritalin.
Do you worry about that, Travis? Because I worry about that. I always, like, when I leave a cup, when I bring my cup back from lunch and I set it on my desk and then I walk away from it for a while, like, when I come back, I always wonder, did somebody spit in this or somebody fuck with my cup?
I don't.
You don't worry about it?
You live an ultra paranoia life, don't you?
You just assume nobody fucked with your cup?
Mike worries about everything.
Ignorance is bliss, baby.
Oh, you just don't worry about it?
I don't give a fuck about nothing.
Even if somebody did spit in it, you wouldn't care?
No. Well, I would, but...
How would you know?
How'd you know?
There's a bottle of isopropyl alcohol in my office that we use to wipe things down, Travis. And I always worry that somebody's going to like squirt some in my drink. And I have no reason to worry that. The people I work with are nice.
The people at your work are not psychopaths trying to make you sick?
No, but I always worry it. I'm like, it's right here. They could have done it.
Why would you worry about something so trivial?
I don't know. And now I'm worried about the cans. Like I go and I get one of those Monster Energy drinks sometimes, Travis, at the Quick Trip. I like the coffee ones. And
the coffee ones are good.
I was driving to work the other day drinking it, and I was like, I mean, who put this in the fridge? Anybody could have. They could have had anything on their hands, and I'm just putting my mouth on it like a...
I'm glad I don't have the same thoughts as you. You're thinking
short term there too, right? Like it's the you're thinking of just the store worker who put it on the shelf. You're not thinking about all of the people who touched that from production all the way till it got to that
right
store.
I mean, they put it on a dirty ass truck. It was in the factory. And
how do you know the truck's dirty?
What are their cleaning procedures? What else is made in that factory?
I mean, they'd have to be somewhat high to be still be a factory to produce.
Do you worry about meats, like packaged meats, steak and chicken and all that? Do you ever think about that? Because people have to touch those things as well.
But I'm going to cook the meat.
If it's packaged, you know, like packaged meat, Travis, I don't have to worry that anybody didn't touch it that needed to touch it. You know, like the people who touched it are the people who are paid to touch meat and package it. But then once it's in the package, then I have the assurance that the only people who touched my meat are the people authorized to touch meat.
Well, then you should start buying 4 packs of Monster, and then you will ensure that nobody ever touched those cans.
Because they're in cardboard, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Well, we shouldn't sell Lucy cans anywhere. It shouldn't be a thing. Why? On the market. Because they're probably gross. And we put our mouth on them.
Only people who worry about that type of thing. I could care less, so keep the Lucy cans going.
I mean, they have all the tamper-proof stuff. And you could probably assume, nobody probably messed with this. But what if they did?
What if they did?
But with Lucy cans,
needles in that Snickers bar,
somebody could have just like rubbed their dick and balls all over where you put your mouth, Travis, and then you have dick and balls juice on your mouth.
And if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. It's a lot of ifs there, Mike.
Travis, Drunk's been big on the ifs lately. I think because me and him played each other in fantasy football.
But what if
this
and what if that?
And I was complaining that if. What I have is I have 2 quarterbacks.
If ifs were fifths, we'd all be drunk.
He keeps doing this, Travis. He's big on the ifs right now.
I love it. Keep them going. You know what I mean?
And whichever quarterback I pick, it's the wrong quarterback.
All
I was saying is that if I hadn't screwed up and played the wrong quarterback, I would have had more points than Drunk. And Drunk went into a tirade of ifs, Travis. It was like a...
You can't live your life in ifs, man. Can't live your life in ifs.
You're not an if man?
No.
Travis, Drunk is using my dryer right now. He put clothes in my dryer.
Your dryer out of service?
So, long story, I'll make it somewhat quick. Moved out of my house, was in hotels for a week. Got our keys to our apartment yesterday. Turns out, apartment doesn't have a hookup for a washer and dryer. So I went to the laundromat.
There's no central washer and dryer room.
Well,
either?
I went to the laundromat today, got my shit in the laundry, in the wash machine just fine. Waiting on dryer. The first person who had their dryer expire put another $70.75 in the machine. And at that point, I was like, well, if I stick around and wait here, I'm going to be late to the podcast. So might as well ask Mike if I could borrow his dryer.
You
can't trust those dryers in a laundromat anyway. Those fuckers will shrink your clothes in like 1.2 seconds. They're so hot.
Yeah.
Do they crank them up really high so that they can get it out?
I don't know
quicker?
I don't know what kind of laundromat you have, but most of the laundromats I've ever been to, when I've been in a jam, like the dryer goes down or whatever, there's no way to set the dryer. You just put your money in and press the button and it just kind of goes. And those things run like 750 degrees. They try to turn your clothes into like charcoal. Awful.
When you take stuff to the laundromat, are you guys ever afraid that like anybody's going to mess with
your stuff? Not afraid of nothing. What would I be afraid of at the laundromat?
When I've gone, I've put my clothes in the washer and then I
go to
leave,
the chair and
come back.
Watch your TV and smoke your cigarettes and then go right back to the wash machine.
Like
Why would somebody take something out of the going wash machine?
Well, maybe not take something. I'm not saying that they would thieve you, but like, what if somebody wants to dump like a fruit punch Gatorade in your laundry?
What? Who does that?
Hooligans.
There's no payoff. Hooligans wouldn't do that because there wouldn't be any payoff. Because in order to do that, they'd have to dump it and leave. So there's no payoff.
They could stay around and watch you with binoculars to see your reaction.
Hooligans start fights at soccer games. They don't fucking dump fucking fruit punch Gatorade in the water.
This guy's
hooligans light paper bags full of dog shit on fire in front of somebody's doorway and press the doorbell, you know?
They watch it and say, look at this guy. This stuff's going to have a bunch of pink stains on it, and he's going to be mad. We're going to film him and put him on TikTok. I'm saying
you gotta start a new TikTok challenge there. Go to the laundromat and put the fruit punch in the fucking.
You can't put this kind of thing out in the world, Mike. These weird scenarios because you're just inspiring crazy people.
He's just begging for shit to happen. I'm trying to live my life in a peaceful manner. Mike's worried about what if somebody puts the game right.
So you're saying that like my worries of hooligans. I'm putting that out into the world. It's like the opposite of that book, The Secret, Travis.
Your meds.
My book is the anti-secret.
I think it's like when the world forgot about Freddy Krueger and Freddy versus Jason, and he had to get people talking about him again so they'd remember him and have nightmares about him. That's kind of what you're doing. You're putting this out into the world. You're creating Freddy Kruegers in laundromats.
I hope Liquid Lozenge doesn't go dump fruit punches into people's.
Oh, and then think about this, Mike. What if that Gatorade that they dumped into the laundry washing machine, what if they spit in it first?
I'm inspiring a whole generation of hooligans, Travis. And I'm telling people about the weaknesses in their armor, not so that people can stab them, but so that they can fix it and.
How are you supposed to fix it? If somebody dumps a thing of Gatorade in your wash machine, how are you supposed to fix it?
You be diligent. You watch.
Of course. Who goes to the fucking laundromat and just fucking... No. Are you baby Huey?
You have to protect your clothing from the hooligans.
You can't live your life in a constant state of paranoia.
I think what we need to do...
You need to take a break for sure.
I need to take a break. I need to think about some things.
Your whole life.
I need to think about my whole life. Guys, we'll be back momentarily. Thank you for sticking with us. We'll see you soon.
There's only one place you should be on Halloween. Locked inside your homes asleep. Stay 6 feet from your neighbors on this Halloween, or in your mouth the COVID stinks.
Yeah! There's only one place you should be on Halloween. Locked inside your homes asleep. Stay 6 feet from your neighbors on this Halloween, or in your mouth the COVID stinks.
The mouth man who ate the girl? He's coming for me. He's coming for you too. We gotta go.
What is he?
No clue. We're gonna go find out.
The girl, was there a shadow type with her? Like an interdimensional kind of parasite? You know what I'm talking about?
He knows after you and me, not your wife.
Who is that?
Will you keep her safe? You come with me.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Is this really your daughter?
90% of the stuff that people are talking about is magic. It's not magic. It's just people with their own beliefs.
Jackson, look.
What? I need help.
Their own ideas.
Please call me back. I just need to know that you're safe.
Listening and communicating to people.
We need a name for him. You cool with Chompy?
Yeah, okay.
That's what life's about. That's what we're here to do.
Great, well, that other bonding experience.
You pulled a knife on my wife.
That kind of sounds like a Dr. Seuss rhyme. Get your shoes on.
Go!
I think we are in for quite an interesting night. You don't have to live like this anymore. We need a plan, okay? Because if we don't have a plan, we just sit here eating pancakes and then we all die. Table's wet. Gross.
At Dunkin' locations nationwide, you may have noticed we've added the words "for humans" to our menu boards. While you may think that's self-explanatory, we just figured due to recent events, better safe than sorry. And while our large pumpkin spice lattes may hit the spot for your morning commute, if you happen to be ordering for a horse, he or she may want more. Or maybe don't give them coffee at all, because our products are intended for humans. Humans that run on Dunkin'.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is the writer-director of a new horror sci-fi comedy available now on video on demand titled Chompy and the Girls. For more information, visit freestyledigitalmedia.tv. Sky Brabant is on the program. Sky, did I butcher your name or did I get close?
You got pretty close. It's Sky Brabant, but
yeah,
I'll take
Brabant. Sky, you know, I can't find anything about you anywhere. You're like a ghost to me. I looked. I looked for a pronunciation of your name. I tried really hard.
No, no worries, no worries. So, I'm a ghost. What do you want to know about me?
Well, I watched your movie. Your movie's great, Sky. I definitely want to talk about that for sure.
Oh, thank you.
You made this a while ago, right? You shot it and then a year or two later decided to crowdfund it. You did things backwards, I think, right?
Yeah, basically we shot it and then we ran out of money for the visual effects of the film. That was the whole thing was, you know, we knew that we were going to have to do some crowdfunding, but we figured that we could probably run a better crowdfunding campaign if we had already shot the film, you know, if we had something to show for it.
So you could show people, you know, something.
Exactly. We could show footage. We could, you know, make a trailer without the VFX and, you know, show that, all right, this isn't just some, you know, concept thing. This is something that we've already shot. Yeah. So we shot it back in, was it January 2018? And it just released, September 14th. So it's definitely been a long road to get there. Feels pretty distant now as far as like the actual shooting process of it. But, you know, here we are.
I would feel kind of detached from it at this point because you did it so long. I mean, you wrote it in what, 2017? It's like ages ago.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been, it's kind of surreal seeing it happen now. It definitely feels like there is a distance, which is very interesting. You know, hopefully future projects don't take this long to get made and released, but you know, I'm just glad to have made something and to have it out there.
Is this like a resume thing? Like you can send this to people and say, "Hey, I made this for next to nothing." Because I mean, it looks great. I don't know what the budget on this. I imagine it probably wasn't a ton, but I don't.
No, it was definitely not a ton.
Is it insulting for me to say to you, it looks like a real movie? Like, is that insulting to say?
No. Look, I love low budget horror. You know, that's, you know, it's a genre that I, you know, really enjoy. And so it was, you know, we wanted to make something within, you know, obviously it's more, I'd say it like leans more on the comedy angle than on the horror angle. But, you know, yeah, we wanted to make something that looked, you know, decent for what it was, but, you know, we weren't trying to hide the budget or presented it as something that it wasn't. We have a low budget, you know, there's a charm in that, and you know, try to embrace it.
Can you give people the elevator pitch on what this movie is? Because I think it's hard to explain.
So it's about a depressed young woman who reaches out to her father, who never knew that he had a daughter, and then meets the first time in the park. It's not going great. He's completely overwhelmed with the fact that he has a daughter, that he's meeting her. And then things get worse when they see a man in the park open his mouth 4 feet wide and swallow a 10-year-old. And then that's the first 15 minutes. It goes from there. And
then the guy who ate the 10-year-old, he chases after him and
he starts following them. And, it goes from there. The first part of it, the first act is sort of like an It Follows type thing. And then it kind of goes off in its own sort of, you know, strange direction.
Do you have that and then you work from there? Because you wrote this thing too. Do you have,
wouldn't it
be fun if aliens came and ate 10-year-olds and you had to run from them?
The first thing was I had the characters in mind. I wrote this scene where this kind of wild, unhinged girl breaks into this guy's house in the middle of the night and is, you know, trying to get him out of there. And I had written this. I wrote a whole script around it. It was an absolute mess. It was the first feature I ever wrote, and it was a disaster. The whole thing just, you know, it made no sense. And you know, then I wrote a few more features, but I kept, there was something about the character dynamic and that particular scene that kind of kept drawing me back to it. And I realized, you know, the whole thing that I had written the story around, it was like, I don't have to do that. It can be anything, you know, with these characters. And somehow the idea of this guy swallowing this kid came into my head. I have no good explanation as to how that came into my head. There's no story. Oh, I saw a frog eat a fly or something. There's nothing. I don't know where that came from.
You weren't like walking by a playground and said, wouldn't it be funny if somebody just came and ate one of them?
Yeah, it was like, all right, you know, is there, all right, these two people are meeting for the first time. They look over and what do they see? What's the strangest thing they could see? For some reason that popped into my head. And then I wrote it from there.
Have you done anything since this, or have you pretty much just been working on getting this out there?
Getting this finished has been a big thing. I've been doing a ton of writing though. You know, I have a few more scripts that, I want to get made. I have one that I'm working on right now that I'm really excited about. And then, you know, I've worked on, I've done some work on some friends projects as well.
And so I guess since you wrote and direct this, I was wondering, do you want to be a director and you figured, well, I'm only going to get to direct something if I make my own things, or do you want to be a writer and you wrote it and said, well, nobody's going to do this the way I want it done, so I'll just do it myself? Or did you set out to be both?
For this, I set out to be both. I think for me, I think my writing comes first, and then I could write a script and hand it off to somebody else. Like, I have no problem with that. But it almost feels like for me, like the directing part is almost the second stage of the writing process. Like, I write it, and then it's like directing it is like, okay, you know, making this script happen.
It does kind of seem like you would want to do both. I would think that would be the way that you would want to do it, because it's like handing it off to somebody else, and you just know that they're going to ruin it.
I wrote a few plays in college. I wrote a few musicals that, I didn't direct it, like other people directed. And I've seen like other people direct my stuff, and that's, you know, it's fine. But like at the end of the day, like I always watch it. I'm like, oh, you know, I wish that I could have, you know, I wish that I could have done this. I wish that I could have done that. And it's not to say like, oh, they did a bad job or anything. It's just like, you know, when I'm writing it, I have all these ideas in my head, and it's like, I'd like to execute them.
Travis, the thing that I can say about this movie is, you know, when you watched, what was the movie where the gal kept dying over and over again?
Groundhog Day.
Happy Death Day?
Happy Death Day. You know how, when you watched that movie, Travis, you were like, man, the gal in this is just great. She's the perfect person to play this part. I felt about Sky's movie, too. Is the gal that played the lead part was perfect.
And it was Christy. Christy was incredible. It was as soon as, like, honestly, I've never had an audition go like this. She wasn't actually supposed to audition. She was not signed up to audition that day. And then she just showed up. And originally, like, there wasn't time for her, but then somebody else didn't show up, and she ended up auditioning. As soon as she walked in, she started talking about like how she had pancakes for breakfast. And it was just like, before she even started reading the scenes, it was like, okay, I hope she can act, because this is the character.
And Sky, I get a vibe you know how years and years later you found out that Jennifer Aniston was in The Leprechaun? I have a feeling that your movie's going to eventually be that. Like, if it doesn't get huge now, I think that gal's eventually going to be famous, and then your movie's going to get noticed.
I think she could have a really good career. I think she should. You know, as far as the whole cast, I was just, we got really lucky to get the cast that we got.
Is that when they do the reissue for the box art like they did with Leprechaun, where it used to be a specific poster, and then Jennifer Aniston was
then
huge.
And then they do another poster that showcases, you know, whoever got big from it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Sky, are you mostly interested in working in genre? I mean, do you have what you're working on right now, is it still kind of sit in the horror vein, or are you looking to branch out of that?
So I've got stuff that is sort of all over the place. I love the genre world. You know, I have a script that's more, it's a horror comedy, more horror than comedy. I have another script that I'm writing right now, which is a thriller with, you know, some hints of dark comedy, but pretty much a straight thriller. And then, you know, I have children's animated, you know, like a kid show that I want to pitch to Cartoon Network. You know, I have stuff that's all over the place, but at the end of the day, I have a love for the genre world. There's just, I think there's a certain freedom that you get working within that. Where, I mean, at least for this movie, it was like, you know, writing this, it was great. It was like, oh, I can do literally anything, you know?
Yeah. The genre seems to be a much bigger playground that you can stomp around in.
Yeah. There's a certain freedom to it. You know, so it's like, no, I don't want to just limit myself, you know, for that. But, you know, if that was all I could work in, I would have a lot of fun with it.
That makes sense. Hey, Sky, do you ever worry that cans are gross?
No.
What, cans?
Oh, like, do you ever go to the gas station and, like, buy a can of soda? And when you pop the top, yeah, well, you're putting your mouth on something that everybody else puts their mouth on, right? Does that ever creep you out, or no?
Well, presumably other people are not putting their mouth on the same can of soda that I'm putting my mouth on.
But I mean, they're like putting their thumbs and stuff on it, right? No?
Yeah.
I guess. Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I'll, you know, rub it off my shirt first.
Rub it off. See, you're infecting, Mike, you're infecting people.
I don't want to.
Are you worried about going to the laundromat and people putting, what was it, fruit punch Gatorade in your laundry bowl?
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on your laundry so hooligans don't mess with it. We're getting off topic. Sky, where should people go? Where's the best place I can send people to see Chompy and the Girls? Is it on video on demand, I guess?
It's Amazon Prime. Yeah. Amazon Prime, iTunes, you know. Yeah, any VOD platform.
Yeah, I saw the freestyledigitalmedia.tv had links to everything, so I guess you go there.
Yeah, they're the distributors, but you know it's on any VOD platform.
And guys, tweet Sky and let him know you heard him here. Sky, it's fun talking to you, man. I appreciate your time. I enjoyed your movie a lot.
Good talking to you guys too. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again when the next one comes out, man.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man.
Awesome. Thanks, Sky.
All right. I'll not drink out of cans.
Fucking Mike. I told you. God damn it.
Got him.
You're ruining people's lives, dude.
I'm not. I think you, I'm no, doing you, a valuable
no,
service.
No, you're not. You're turning America into a bunch of fucking worry warts.
Bunch of hypochondriacs. Fucking
the pussification of America. Delusional. Starting with Mike Moore. Fucko.
That's what Mike is just gonna just start bringing people on to talk to him about the potential dangers of drinking.
Don't go to the gas station and get a monster. Somebody put their thumb where you put your lips.
Look, well, all I can do is I can tell people about the dangers in the world. If
there might be a dirt ring on the top of the can,
if they choose to ignore the things that go down when the trains come in, Travis. Just walk out onto the tracks, that's their fucking problem. You know what I'm saying? They might not get hit. They might make it across in time. Or they might get fucking splattered. You never fucking know. Drunk.
Oh, they're going to put fruit punch Gatorade in your laundry machine. How do you live life every day?
Now, that one I don't think's really going to happen. At least I hope not. I mean, that one.
You ever think about checking a book out from the library and you're reading it and you're like, oh man, they probably read this while they were taking a shit.
Oh, I didn't think of that, Travis, but now I'm going to. Gross.
Oh, have you ever gone to the grocery store and tried to buy a banana and think, how many monkeys put their hands on this banana?
That's a good point. Do they wash them? Do they go through a washing process after they pick them, or do they just take them off the tree and give them to you?
I guess that's something new you got to think about, Mike.
Travis, do they wash the bananas?
Who gives a fuck? The banana is the skin.
They already have a protective vest.
Right.
Yeah, they have a protective vest. So just
like, oh, you're talking about like when you peel off the peel.
Yeah, you're taking it off and it's all good.
You know, I saw somebody make banana peel stuff where they put a bunch of teriyaki and stuff on it, and then they said it tasted like bacon. I bet it doesn't.
Yeah, I bet it doesn't either.
No, that's bullshit. No way. There's no way that a banana peel they could make.
You know who said that? A vegan.
Some fucking weird vegan. Yeah, probably. Travis, do you have what you'd say? I have to say, guys, look, I'm not bullshitting you guys because we talked to Scott. It was a funny story, Travis. So what happened was I tweeted you that. Laura said to me, I showed her the trailer for Chompy and the Girls. I stumbled across it. And I showed Laura the trailer because the trailer is ridiculous. Chompy, the titular character, Travis, he just has this big crazy rubber mouth that just hangs open. it looks really silly, and he eats 10-year-old girls. I pretty much just explained the movie to you, Travis. Chompy eats 10-year-old girls.
Is there boobays in this movie?
There's not boobays, no. It's actually, like, it's PG-13, but it's barely PG-13. It's not a gory film. You could watch it with the kids. I tweeted to you that I showed Laura this movie trailer, and Laura said, oh, well, I will only watch that with you if you're interviewing somebody from it. And she said it in a way, I think, to imply that
this movie looks stupid.
We talk to people who watch make goofy movies.
Yeah, but really she was implying, I have no interest in seeing this, but if you have to see it because you're talking to them, I'll watch it.
Right. If you're watching it for homework, I'll watch it with you. And so I tweeted that to you, and Sky reached out to us and said, I wrote and directed this fucking thing. Let's make her watch it.
I made that movie.
Yeah, and she did watch it.
But what if he didn't? What if he'd pull on a good pods?
Oh, you mean you don't think that was really even Sky?
I don't know.
I guess we don't really have any confirmation that was even him.
Just thinking rethinking my whole life now, Mike.
Travis, I have no way of knowing if that was even really him, I guess. I mean, like, you know, he wasn't verified.
It could have been Liquid fucking doing a bit.
He could have just made an account and said he was the... Oh, wow.
You're the one that couldn't find him at all on the internet.
Oh, wow.
We just got fucking trolled, man.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Are you sure this person even exists?
Was that even the guy who made Chompy and the Girls?
I don't think Chompy and the Girls is even a real movie. I think this person created a whole internet backstory just to get on here and troll you by saying he made a movie called Chompy and the Girls.
Charles, wouldn't that be really funny if that wasn't actually the guy who made the movie? I think it was. I'm 80% sure.
Did he even read the credits at the end?
This is some dude who saw Chompy and the Girls was a thing, saw the person's name that made it was Sky Bribbon, then did a long con by like retweeting trailers and talking about the movie.
Did he have a blue check mark?
No.
We're fucked.
He's tweeted like 10 times ever drunk, and one of them was to us.
Yeah, that's saying he was troll job. We got duped. They catfished us, Mike.
Wow. Wow. Drunk, let me ask you a question.
Yes. Fucking imposter Sky Brebend or whatever his name is.
He's your pick of the week.
He's in the room with you.
You think he's one of these ghosts, Travis? Yeah. Yeah.
I have this saying all summer because, you know, St. Louis is one of those kinds of towns. Wake me up when September ends, and if the Cardinals are still in it, I'll watch. Well, September is over, and the Cardinals are still in it, so I'll be watching this Wednesday.
You're a fair weather fan?
I wouldn't call me a fair weather fan. There's 162 fucking games. You can't pay attention to every fucking game.
It's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games.
Yeah, it's too many.
I mean, I usually go to one or two throughout the year. I haven't since pre-COVID, because I think I got COVID at the last game I went to. But
you can't get it outdoors.
Oh, is that what they say?
Yeah, I think that's a rule.
Oh, okay.
You can't get it outdoors, and you can't get it if you wear a dream catcher.
Oh, so can I get a dream catcher tattooed on me and I'll never get it?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I think that's the way it works. Travis, does it have to be a physical dream catcher, or can you get a dream catcher tattoo?
It depends who does the tattoo. If it's a Native American person, then the tattoo is fine.
American tattoo acts as an actual dream catcher.
Correct.
Does a Native American have to make the dream catcher?
It's kind of like halal. Or
no, they kosher. Just have to. It's, you know, like when they bless things as being kosher. As long as the dream catcher was blessed by a Native American, then it's legit.
I believe they call them shamans.
Okay. That is interesting. Travis, pick of the week, bud?
Travis's pick of the week is The Final Girl Support Group, a novel by Grady Hendrix, whose books I discovered maybe a month ago and have tore through all five of them. But the newest one is The Final Girl Support Group. It's about a support group, obviously, of final girls 20 years after their massacres. So all of these different women in this group have backstories that kind of follow well-known horror movie plots. And they're the final girls from these group. But this is like 20, 30 years later, and a new plot against them starts to unfold. And it is wonderful. Really, really enjoyed it. Check out The Final Girl Support Group, a novel by Grady Hendrix.
So to clarify.
So is it not Scream 2?
It's not Scream 2. One of the characters in it has survived two ghost face killings. She's essentially Sydney Prescott at like 50 years old. Like I said, like all of these girls, like one of them, you know, her and her family ran into a group of like hillbilly rednecks on the street. Our main character who we follow, her massacre scenario was pretty much the plot of Silent Night, Deadly Night. All of these characters pretty much have one of the final girls, her slasher killer person who killed all of her friends and family was called the Dream King, which is obviously sort of like the Freddy Krueger. So
they keep trotting out Jamie Lee Curtis every 4 years for another damn Halloween movie. Why can't they do the same thing with what's her name? Neve Campbell, is that who?
There's a new Scream coming out.
Is there?
Same cast. Called Scream, but it's same. Courtney Cox, core cast.
Really?
Courtney Cox, David Arquette, Neve Campbell—they're all coming back.
I can't.
But not Matthew Lillard because he's dead.
And not Jamie Kennedy because he's also dead. I can't.
Jamie Kennedy, I bet, pops up in it.
Travis, I can't see who typed it because I designed this chat box bad. But somebody said that you tore the tween section of bookstores often. They think that you're getting tween books. Are these tween books or are these for adults?
No, these are novels for grown ass people that have horrific bloody imagery. these are horror novels written for
whoever that
adults.
Was their burn. It was a bad burn.
It was a bad burn.
Tell them that they did a bad job and that they're bad at burning.
You did a bad job. I'm doing the best at this.
Yeah, he did a really good job, guys, and you should respect him. Right. Travis, I went and saw
dude is hotter than Hades in here.
I saw a movie film in the theaters the other day.
Spawn 2.
Venom. Oh, yeah. I went and saw Venom 2. Yeah. And Venom 2, Travis, it was great.
See, people talk shit on Venom 1. I thought Venom 1 was fine.
Venom 1 was great. If you liked Venom 1, you're going to like Venom 2 too, cuz they're both really stupid, but they're great. Oh, they're
more ridiculous symbiote adventure.
Like they like have a breakup. And he goes to like a rave and gets on stage and talks about his breakup and drops.
Who has a breakup? Like
Venom.
Like Venom and Eddie?
Venom, he gets up on stage and he drops the mic. After his, you know, he says that Eddie is a jerk and that he's better off without him. And then they fight Carnage and it's fun. I mean, it's so fucking stupid, but it's so great.
Is Woody Harrelson just amazing in that movie?
As
he is in everything that he does.
Woody Harrelson's fine. He does a good job.
Is he like chewing scenery in this?
Oh,
like
overacting. Oh, he's having a good time, Travis.
Awesome. I love to see it.
Yeah. So I guess that's
I'll probably catch it, you know. You wait till 2 weeks after the movie comes out and then there's not as many people in the theater, so That's what I'm going to do.
Guys.
Yeah, wait 2 more weeks, then it'll be on a streaming service. You know, like Black Widow is on Disney Plus on Wednesday, so whatever.
A lot of...
that's one of those ones that I think I actually want to see on the big screen.
Travis, I reached out to Sky via email. It was him.
Oh, good.
Just to clarify, you know, like...
You got a blue check mark?
I didn't just talk to him on Twitter. I talked to him in email because I'm not some guy who books the goddamn show through Twitter, so...
You could.
So it was him. 100% sure. That wasn't...
We were just goofing.
It was a bit, guys.
I'm not sure.
But I don't want to throw...
Mike changed my whole life tonight.
I don't want throw shade on the legitimacy of things.
I'm going to worry about every little thing that happens from now until the end of my
existence. I want to be very clear so that people don't, you know, misconstrue what I'm saying and think that I'm actually saying to claim podcasts on good pods that aren't your podcast, because that's not what I'm saying. Don't claim podcasts if they're not yours. I mean, you could set up a tip jar, but so. Guys, only claim the podcasts that you're actually the host of. Don't mess around. Don't do it. Travis, did we do it?
Did you have pick of the week there, fucko?
Yeah, it was the Chompy and the Girls and Venom.
And yeah. Venom 2. Nice double feature.
Travis, there's nothing left? Nothing else to do?
I think that's it. I think we did it. First spooky month in the books. Oh, wait. I think it would be a disservice to Sam Hain.
Oh?
If I didn't tell people to start a GoFundMe for movie memorabilia for Travis, because I just read today that there was coming up in November, there's going to be a movie memorabilia auction that contains Michael Myers' Screen Ward mask from Halloween Trick or Treat, motherfuckers, Resurrection. Wilson the volleyball.
You can buy Wilson the volleyball?
But most importantly is a screen-worn Freddy Krueger glove from Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors, which they project will bring in about $41,000.
Holy shit.
And I just want everybody to know that if you start a GoFundMe for me to purchase this Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger, screen-worn glove, I'd appreciate it.
What will you like weekly hold up the glove on our YouTube page so that people can see it?
I'll hold it up. I'll carefully take it out of its wonderful case that I will have made. And I will probably even put it on. I'll clink the knives together.
Oh,
and then I'll
clink
put it back
together
in the case.
So we'll just hear a little clink.
Yep.
Wow. But yeah, so Sam Hain, nothing else with Sam Hain.
That would have been, if I wouldn't have brought that up, it would have been a disservice to Sam Hain since it is spooky month.
Yeah. Okay, guys, I guess we did it. That's the show, guys. Good times, right?
I'm frightened.
You're frightened?
Yes.
Ghouls are out and about, yeah.
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. If you enjoyed it, subscribe, share it with a friend. Hey, consider supporting the show on Patreon at patreon.com/WFODix. Follow us at twitch.tv/WFODshow or youtube.com/user/WFODix. Should figure out a way to make that better. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-4263 or email travis@wfodix.com with comments, questions, guest suggestions, or whatever. Thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Amanda, Val, Brian, and Liquid. Also, a special thank you to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the music we used this week. Visit WFOD Show for more. We'll see you next week. Goodbye. I thought he was going to do it.
I didn't. I knew he wasn't.
You knew he wasn't going to do it?
Yeah. He hasn't done it the last 2 years. Why would you do it? Why would he do it now?
He posted on Twitter that he was surrounded by documents. Thought that meant he was going to do it.
No. Oh, no. We were just filling out life insurance papers.
Oh.
No, it's over.
Well. Bye.
Finger banged any co-eds in Florida lately, or?
Yeah, just with a thumb.
I don't know what any of that means.
Urban Meyer's about to get fired. Finger blasting a fucking... Yeah. 19-year-old.
Yeah, he's going to give.
Oh, was that when he was still a college man?
The unemployment
line. No, that was this fucking Sunday. He didn't take the flight home and he missed a meeting on Monday.
Yeah, he like canceled the meeting because he was too busy dealing with the viral video of him shoving his thumb up some young broad's ass.
Oh, there's a video?
Oh, there's a video.
Oh yeah. Geez. That's how people knew about it.
Where, Mike?
How did I miss all of this?